Matthew chapter 13. Again, we're in the parables of our Lord. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. This parable tonight, it's been a tough one to look at and to study and pray through. But Matthew 13, verse 31. So, one of the things I want you to see tonight as we look at this parable, I want you to notice that most of the other parables, I can't remember how many there are, maybe 40-some, most of the other parables, Jesus explains the parable. We've seen that where he very clearly does that, the parable of the soil. We talked about the hard heart, the shallow heart, the crowded heart, and then a fruitful heart, but he goes in to describe what each of those means. He talks about the soil cast by the wayside or on that well-worn hard path. That's that hard heart. He talks about how that seed does not, the seed cast on the wayside, that seed cannot get to the ground or into the soil. So it lays on the top. And he explained that and he explained what it is. But there's about four parables that he offers no explanation. So what we have to do, we have to take other scripture and we compare it with what he's already said. So you compare scripture with scripture. And so this is one of those parables tonight where he offers no explanation of it, but within the parable, there's clues as to what it teaches us from other sections of scripture. So let's look at the parable of the mustard seed in verse 31, Matthew 13, verse 31. The Bible says this, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." So this is the parable of the mustard seed. Now, so right off the bat, let's talk about the mustard seed, what Jesus is saying in this parable. So we know from popular Bible preaching on the mustard seed, Jesus, you know, he used the mustard seed as the example of faith. And if you have faith of a mustard seed, you know, say to this mountain, be moved, mountain, and the mountain will be moved. That mustard seed, it is one of the smallest seeds of their day in Palestine. Now, we sow some things that have smaller seed than mustard seeds today, but mustard seeds are very small, and it was one of the smallest seeds of their day. In fact, that the type of mustard seed that's referred to here in the Word of God, I think it takes some 350,000 seeds to make a pound of mustard seed. So Jesus is speaking of the kingdom of heaven being like a mustard seed. What's he speaking of when he's speaking of the kingdom of heaven? So what our Lord is speaking of, he's speaking of from his day when he establishes the church. Remember, he died, rose again, gives his disciples the Great Commission. So that's the birth of the church. And the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is the growth of the church from that time all the way till the time of the millennial reign of Christ, when the kingdom of God will extend across all of the globe, when all of the world will be at peace under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And so we're living in that time of kingdom growth. We're living within that time of the kingdom of God where the church is growing. So what Jesus says here, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And he talks about how in this parable that it sprouts up. So that particular mustard seed in the time of Jesus, it could grow up to about 10 foot tall. But it was only a bush. Only a bush. It didn't grow much beyond that at all. So Jesus knows this. He's very clearly pointing this out. He mentions the fact that it is a herb and it only grows some 10 foot tall. But what he says about this mustard seed is that it's so small, but it grows up into a tree. And Mark really, he is more particular with this parable. He He details it a little more extensive, and Mark talks about it being a tree that grows up so tall and so big, and that all the limbs stretch out, and from the limbs there's branches that stretch out, and from the branches there's leaves that stretch out. And so that's what Jesus is speaking of here, and Mark details it even further in more fine detail. And so Jesus said, so here's this mustard seed. It's so small, and it's supposed to grow into a bush, but what it's done is it grows into a huge tree, and Mark details it and says that tree's got limbs that reach out toward the heavens. Those limbs have branches that reach out, and those branches have leaves that reach out. It's a huge tree. But let's go back to what Jesus has said. Jesus has said that mustard seed, it's supposed to grow up into a bush. It's going to stay small. It's going to stay meek. It's not going to grow and take over the air, so to speak. But he says what happens is that this particular mustard seed, indeed, it's like the kingdom of God, but this particular one grows from a shrub into this monstrous tree. And it's so big, the Bible says, that the birds of the air, they come and they lodge in this tree. They hide in this tree. Mark uses that terminology, that birds can hide among all these branches and these limbs and things like this. Okay, so what's Jesus getting at? What is he pointing to? So number one, I want you to notice this. I want to show you what the mustard seed showed. What the mustard seed showed. So this mustard seed, number one, it showed some weird growth. Some very weird growth. So not just a couple years ago, we decided we'd come down here. We weren't going to try to plant a garden like we had up home. We usually grew a big garden and just had everything I needed right there, you know, a tractor and my you know, my plow, and I had a good tiller and all of that, and it was just right there, good ground, no deer come down to eat my stuff, and I knew down here it was different. So I made a couple of raised beds, and we were just going to grow a few things. And one of the things that I did, I built two trellises in each of the bed. So on that side of the planters or the raised beds, I could grow sugar snap peas because I love to eat those fresh. And then I would trellis burpless cucumbers. We grow burpless cucumbers. Some of you know they get about that long. And I trellis them. It keeps them off the ground. That cucumber vine will grow up that trellis, and those cucumbers will hang off the trellis, and you could go by there and just pick them off that. They're clean. They don't have any mud splattered off the ground, whatever the case may be. Well, I noticed one day that one of those small cucumbers was not growing long, but it was growing round, and it was about the size of a baseball maybe when I discovered it, maybe a little smaller. And I thought, that's funny. There's something strange about that cucumber seed. Are there something strange about that cucumber? Well, then it got bigger and bigger, and I thought, this is really interesting. I don't know what this cucumber is doing, but I can't wait to find out. Well, come to find out, it wasn't a cucumber at all. It was cantaloupe, because, you know, a cucumber plant and a cantaloupe plant look very much alike when they're very small, and I hadn't paid attention to it. But so I had trellised two different cantaloupe plants, and just for your knowing, you can trellis cantaloupe. It will grow. That vine is strong enough to hold a cantaloupe up off the ground. And so that's exactly what happened. I mean, there was some weird growth taking place there, I promise you, but it grew cantaloupes. And what I want you to notice about this mustard seed is the same thing. What this mustard seed showed, it showed some weird growth. This mustard seed was only supposed to grow so high, 5 or 6 foot tall. At max, it could grow 10 foot tall. This one didn't grow like that. This mustard seed grew into a great big tree. And Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed. Its growth is going to be fast, but it'll be small. So if we're talking about the church, what is Jesus talking about? So what our Lord is saying is, he's saying the growth of the church, it'll be fast, because, you know, trees take decades to grow, whereas small plants and herbs, they grow like that very quickly. And so Jesus is saying the church, it's going to grow very fast, But it's going to stay humble. It's going to stay meek. And overall, it's going to stay small like a shrub, the church is. Now, stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. But he says this mustard seed, there was some weird growth. It grew beyond a shrub into a huge, huge tree. So watch this. I want to share something with you. From its inception, from those 120 disciples in that upper room, to then the 3,000, and then the 5,000, or well, we should say 120 disciples, then he appeared to 500, so then there was 500, and then there was 3,000, then there was 5,000, and you can trace the growth of the church. Had the church maintained the teachings of Christ, the pure teachings of Christ, the church would have never grown into the worldwide organization that it is today. Now stay with me because there's a line of thought here. And here's why. Because what Jesus taught was this, that straight is the gate, narrow is the way. You remember when he said that? He's talking about that the way into salvation is not this great big broad way, but it's this very narrow way, and it's hard, and it demands sacrifice, and it demands discipline, and there will be suffering when you walk and you follow with Christ. And so if the church had maintained this strict teachings of Jesus, and remember what he said too, he said, we hit on it last week, but remember what he said too. He said, many will come to me in that day. Many will come to me in that day. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord. He's talking about judgment day. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, we've cast out demons in your name. We've preached in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. And he said, I'm going to say to them, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You never made it right with me. And I never knew you, so depart from me. Last week it was the wheat and the tares, where tares were planted by the enemy in the church. Every other one, that's literally the parable, among wheat, tares among the wheat. And so this is teachings of Jesus. And so Jesus is painting a picture of discipleship that is very narrow, a way of salvation and discipleship. It's very narrow. It's not broad. But to be saved, there's only one way to be saved. And so what Jesus is saying here, if the church would have kept its strict teachings, not strict, but Bible. I don't even like that word strict, but strictly Bible. Let me say it like that. If the church had kept strictly the teachings of Jesus, and not broaden or make easy the way to salvation in a church today, it would still be a shrub. But what happened to the church was the church become this worldwide organization with structure and rank and power and associations and on and on. If we really want to talk about the church, and we could talk about the Catholic Church and how the Catholic Church developed its own prison, its own police, its own judges, its own court system. And the Catholic Church, it promoted. Now remember, there was a time when the Catholic Church ruled the world, but the Catholic Church promoted the role of the Pope and has basically made the role of the Pope God upon this earth. Pope John Paul II was... there was an attempted assassination on him, and it was a failed assassination. And somebody within the church said, why do you think this assassination didn't take place, and why was it failed? And he said, because you can't kill God. And so the Pope's been referred to as God. And what he says supersedes Scripture, and everybody else bows at his feet. And so that's a picture of even the church today. There was this weird growth to this mustard seed. It shouldn't have grown as big as it's grown, but the church, from the time Jesus ascended back into heaven, it began to spread worldwide. And what happened is the teachings of Jesus got polluted, and Christianity become a popular thing. And so everybody was wanting to call themselves quote-unquote Christian, even when they'd never truly been born again according to the teachings of Jesus. And so the church grew with arms going off every direction, branches in every direction. And Christianity turned from being just one denomination, so to speak, which was just the denomination of the Lord Jesus Christ, to many denominations all over the globe. And so Jesus is saying here, the church following the teachings of Jesus. Jesus was meek. He was mild. He was humble. He didn't boast and have to demonstrate his power. But that's what's happened to the church today in many cases, in many places. And it's happened all throughout history. The Inquisition is one of those times if you study history. And so what Jesus is saying here is, if you would have followed my teachings and stuck to my teachings, the church would only, it may grow fast, but it's going to grow small. But instead, this mustard seed, he's given a prophecy here. It's going to grow into this huge tree with branches all over the world. So he's talking about the church when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. So what did this mustard seed show? Well, one thing that it showed this weird growth, but it also showed, watch this worldly grandeur. This worldly grandeur. In other words, there was this worldly attraction that the church grew into. It began with the Roman church, with the Catholic church back there, the 13, 14, 1500s. It come to a time when the Catholic church had all of the silver and all of the gold. They were very wealthy. And they lived that lifestyle, priests and popes. They lived a lifestyle of wealth and of riches. And that's not the teachings of Jesus at all. The teachings of Jesus came, he came as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he was born in a manger and he had no place to lay his head. And we see repeatedly through Scripture evidence of the poverty of our Lord, not because he had to live that way, but because he chose that way. That was the path he chose. And then even in our modern times, think about the worldly grandeur to the church. I'll never forget one of the first mega churches in America that bought a stadium that would seat 60,000 people. I'll never forget the attraction that it had to many people. Like, here is a church that is now has bought a stadium and converting it into a church. We're going to church because we get to go to church in a stadium. The worldly grandeur, the worldly attraction. And pastors today are not pastors, as the Bible would call them to be pastors, but we have many pastors today that are celebrities or superheroes in the faith, making millions upon millions. And you saw the one in Texas in that stadium facility when Katrina hit New Orleans and refugees fled to that part of Texas and needed a place to sleep besides on the street, where they closed the doors to that beautiful stadium of a church because they didn't want those vagrants coming in. Friend, that's not a picture of the gospel. That's not a picture of Jesus. That's not what Jesus would have done at all. And so, and we have these celebrity pastors today that have their own private jets and they do these crusades and conferences, and they charge $1 million to come speak at your crusade or your conference. I think Jesus today would look at them and say, where have you missed it? Where have you missed it? The gospel is about being humble and meek and serving, not being served, not being idolized, not being worshiped, because that's what much has happened today. Many in the church today are like that, and it spans all denominations, and it's the same way. And man, I remember when I was in Bible college and stuff, I remember there were some preachers that would kind of come our way and preach in our chapel services and things like that. And I mean, some of these young preacher boys, they worshiped the ground these preachers walked on. And I appreciated these men. I respected these men. And I wanted to learn from these older men. But I wasn't going to worship them because the same God that called them called me. But I know some young preacher boy, they would grab their Bibles and run up and get these preachers to autograph their Bibles. And I asked him one day, I said, why did you have him autograph your Bible? Hey, that preacher didn't write your Bible. You do know that, don't you? That book in your hand, it comes from the Lord above. And so what this mustard seed revealed was this weird growth. It grew fast, and yes, Jesus said it would grow fast, but the expanse of it. And the only way for the church to have grown into this worldwide organization like it did was for the church to loosen and lessen the standards of discipleship and salvation as set by Jesus. As set by Jesus. See, what Jesus preached was not a feel-good message. In fact, what Jesus preached was, if any man's going to follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Where have you heard that preached at lately? And has it ever been preached in these churches where pastors are celebrities? That life's not always, there's not always going to be Kool-Aid coming out of your water fountain, and the fairy, the little fairy's not going to sprinkle happy dust on your pillow every night. That's not real. But what's real, Jesus says, is take up your cross. If you're going to follow me, take up your cross. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, he said, the love you have for your mother and father, it ought to be as hate. It ought to be as hate compared to the love you have for me. That's what he said. He wasn't saying hate your mother or father. But what he's saying is your love for them compared to your love for me, it ought to seem as hate compared to the love you have for me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, deny yourself. When is the last time you've heard that preached? When is the last time you've had that demonstrated? When is the last time you've seen that? That's the very reason why on Wednesday night we have a handful. It's because people won't deny themselves. That's the very reason on Sunday mornings, if the weather's fair, people won't deny themselves. They're going to do what they want to do, even though the Lord said, this is the Lord's day. And we are to worship on this day. That's why on a rainy day, they'll stay home, because they won't deny themselves. But Jesus says, deny themselves. And Paul made it clear that just as our Lord suffered, and was buried and rose again, if we're going to be a disciple, then there'll be a cross we'll have to bear, and we'll have to die to our flesh so that we can live unto Jesus. And so are you following me, and you following this thought? So there was this weird growth, this worldwide growth, and then not only this worldwide growth that Jesus said a mustard seed does not usually do, but the church loosened and lessened the standards of salvation and discipleship. And so the church grew into this worldwide organization that has all of this rank and file and structure. And then there's this worldly grandeur, and it goes back all the way to 400 and 500 A.D. We see it through church history, particularly in our day and time, when there is this flashy worldliness that comes with Christianity and being part of the church. Well, that's not what Jesus said the church is. And so not only do we see what that mustard seed showed, but we also see what that mustard seed sheltered. Now watch, if you will. So Jesus says that this mustard seed grew into such a tree. Mark puts it in details. That tree has branches that run out, limbs off those branches, leaves off those limbs. He says that birds of the air come and they can find shelter. Literally, that's what Mark says, find shelter in that tree. That tree's supposed to be the church age. And birds of the air come and find shelter in it. So Jesus does not define what that means. But however, we go back just another parable or two. That parable of the soils, the hard heart, the crowded heart, and the busy heart. We go back to that, and we see Jesus talks about those birds, and those birds either were evil spirits or the devil himself. Evil spirits, they found their lodging place, their hiding place in the church. This worldwide church that has got so loose in its discipleship, according to Jesus. It's lessened the standards of Jesus for salvation, which is just faith in Him and Him alone, and repentance and faith. And the evidence of repentance and faith is a changed life, and a devoted life, and a life that's lived for Him. And so what Jesus is saying, that mustard seed has not only what it showed, but what it has sheltered in that tree that it become. It has sheltered evil and wickedness. And this thing goes all the way back in church history. I don't have time tonight to put you a PowerPoint on this board, the screen, to show you the different ages of church history and the various ways the church has allowed evil in, but not only allowed evil in, but many cases tolerated evil, and in many cases encouraged evil or wickedness within the ranks of the church. And we go all the way back to Catholicism. I will say that any man that demands that he be worshiped, and any man where people fall at his feet and kiss his feet, that's worship. So that's evil to allow that to go on. That's wickedness, where any man is of such celebrity status where people are doing that. And so all throughout our church age, evil and wickedness has crept in. One very popular preacher, and there's a good possibility you may have one of his books sitting on your dresser, but he pastors a church down in the Atlanta area. He is about to run this conference for parents of LGBTQZY+ whatever kids. Two of the speakers at that conference are open practicing homosexuals. And this man, this very popular, this big church, he has openly said that we need to incorporate homosexuality into our church ranks, that we need to learn how to bring them in and allow them to be part of the church because that's who God has made them to be. Friend, we've lowered the standard, and there's many good saved Christians who are buying this guy's books and Bible studies and all of that. And his dad was a very popular sound Bible teacher, preacher. And that's right here an hour from where we live, taking place on a stage where thousands of people go. And so evil has crept in, and we're no different than some of the churches there in the book of Revelation that allowed evil to be in their midst, that allowed wickedness to come in and many times even promoted it in some way. And that's where we're at today as a church in general, the worldwide church. And so Jesus said, this church, because it has become like a Fortune 500 company, because it has become like some big organization. It's being run like an organization. And I can attest to that because today what they're teaching pastors in most seminaries, they're teaching pastors how to be CEOs instead of servant leaders who are called to be servants and lead by example. I remember I had a drill sergeant in when I was in basic training. We were talking about this the other day. When I went through basic, this was the early 90s. This was still old school basic training. Like it wasn't this soft, cushy stuff you got now, you know, where they have Facebook pages and they send little, you know, whatever they do now. It's cushy today compared to what it used to be. It used to be a drill sergeant lays hands on you. That's unthinkable today. But we had drill sergeants who would scream and scream and scream and tell you to do this and tell you to do that, and you did this and you did that, whatever they said. But I'll never forget Drill Sergeant Spradlin, what Drill Sergeant Spradlin did. He was probably the meanest and toughest drill sergeant of them all. But what he did is he would tell you, this is what you're about to do and this is what you're going to do. And he would take off and he would be the first one to go do it. He would lead by example. He never asked us to do anything, no matter how miserable, how torturous it was. He never asked us to do anything. But what he wasn't willing to take, that perfectly starched BD uniform and that drill sergeant hat, he'd throw that hat off and he would get in the mud and get with it and do whatever he asked us to do. Servant leadership. But we've let wickedness come in and teaching these young pastors to be CEOs and how to run a church so that it can be successful just like a business can be successful. How to make it successful just like a business by applying business principles to the church. That's not what Jesus said. He said to be one of my disciples, you've got to forsake all and follow me. You've got to pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Follow me daily. There's the standards of discipleship set forth by Jesus. And it's not easy believism. It's not just come and feel good and let me make you feel good and come and I'm going to preach on, you know, seven ways that you can feel more positive about yourself. And then at the end of that, just ask you, if you want to be saved, now pray this prayer. Now you're a child of God. Welcome to God's family. No, you've just bypassed conviction and you've bypassed repentance and you've bypassed faith. So today, there's this easy believism, this evil. It's evil that's crept in the church. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. So we interpret this parable with other parables. And we see what our Lord's talking about. So a mustard seed, it's not supposed to grow that big. And had the church stuck to the teaching of Jesus, there would have never been this worldwide appeal for everyone to jump on board. But people would have had to carefully consider what they were about to do. And that's what Jesus did. He said, consider the cost. Consider the cost. Consider what it's going to cost you to repent, to turn from the world and the ways of the world. One pastor in Charlotte, very popular pastor on TV, decided that within a certain time span, let's say like a month, they were going to baptize 1,000 people. And according to this invitation, that's how you become a child of God, was you come to the front of the church and get baptized. And so every Sunday they made this huge appeal. We're doing this big thing to baptize 1,000 people in 1 month. So come, you want to be a part of that? Come, 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 come. Be a part of 1,000 people in 1 month's time. And so every Sunday there was dozens of people coming down just to run through the waters of baptism. And then when they did that, now you're a child of God. Well, friend, every one of those 1,000 people that come with no repentance and faith in Jesus, that come without counting the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, that come without considering picking up your cross and denying yourself first, they're deceived. They're deceived and they won't make heaven at all. And it's the fault of the church. And it's the fault of a pastor. And so, this is a very Jesus. We know that Jesus, at times, there's things he said and did that were funny and comical to me. When he read men's thoughts and he answered their thoughts, he must have thought that was very funny himself at times to do that. And then there's times when there's very joyous things the Lord teaches us. There's very happy things the Lord teaches us. And then there's times when the Lord is very, very serious. In these next couple of parables, Jesus is diving into some very deep, serious truth. And tonight, that's one of those truths, the parable of the mustard seed. And so we see a picture of the church and what it was supposed to be versus what it is and what Jesus had wanted it to be. He wanted it to be true and he wanted it to be pure. But man, we did what men always do. We screwed things up. Mankind screwed it up. And we lessened and loosened the standards of Jesus for discipleship and being a child of God. And that's what's allowed the church to be what it has become today. We have seen pastors of big, big churches publicly forsake their faith and say that they were wrong and say that they made a mistake. We've seen pastors of big, big churches say that they thought that they believed they were Jesus. They were calling people to themselves because they felt like they were Jesus. We've seen crazy, crazy things in our day. And our Lord says it was never supposed to be that way. The church is supposed to be pure and true, humble, not self-serving, but outwardly serving. And so God help us to follow the standards, the teachings of Jesus, to be what Jesus said the church is supposed to be. We are to be servants, a lighthouse to a hurting, hopeless, and a lost and a dying world. Lord, let us be that beacon of hope to people who need Jesus. You may stand tonight. Tell somebody you love them. Thank you for joining us on Liberty Live. Please come back on Sunday morning because we're excited about what the Lord's going to do then.